Hello, how are you? It's me, Belin. And instead of writing a blog to you, I'm going to talk to you this time because it's more, I think, more intimate and more alive. I don't know what to say, but actually, I'm here. It's very quiet and there's a fire behind me. I love fire. Somehow I hear myself talking and I feel actually it's not that intimate when I'm writing. It's much more private, much more secret, secretive than I am talking, because somehow the sound of the voice breaks something. I think break the silence of connecting to you. I'm trying this, I don't know, first time using this recording. Hopefully it will work. It's actually strange in Los Angeles, in the evening, always very cold. I'm going to go to the spa, the jacuzzi and sauna room, which I love. I always go there when it's cold, because I like my body to be touched by the water and the heat. I just love the sauna room, the heat. And we have this private the sauna room, so only female. We have public ones, unisex, and we have the private ones, which are only female there. We're all naked running around. It's kind of crazy. But I love that feeling. So that's what I'm gonna do soon, and what you're gonna do tonight. And you're gonna see this on my blog. I'm trying this way. Hopefully you will feel more intimate. I am connecting, talking to you. I'll say goodnight for now, and you can follow me on Leo by Link. And I just crazily I posted something on YouTube. I've never done that, but I just want to try something for fun. It's funny, it's crazy, but just part of moment of enjoy and life at that time. That's how I feel. And have a great evening. I send you delightful smile. Happy night. Bye.
We'll do it live.
Okay. Broadcasting from downtown Los Angeles.
We'll do it live. Fuck it.
It's the More Music Radio Pod.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
On skidrow.la.
Fucking thing sucks.
Yeah. 5, 4, 3.
What's going on, everybody? It's the More Music Radio Pod on skidrow.la. We're up at Skid Row Studios and we're having another party. All right.
Hey.
Welcome, everybody.
10:05.
Yeah. We are on time.
We are sharp.
Again. We set a record 2 times in a row on time. All right.
2 in a row. We're going to be like the Iron Man. We're going to be like Cal Ripken Jr. or radio.
Yeah.
We're gonna
make it to 3 times on time. Watch next week. Watch. And you know what? Tonight is a very special night because we have a very special guest in studio. We have actress Bai Ling. All right. Welcome. Yeah.
Sweet. Thank you. I'm a little bit intimidated because all men's in the room.
Yeah, I know.
We have 5 of us.
There's a lot of testosterone
behind there, and all young, handsome men's here.
Yeah, I know.
I know we don't look it, but we are gentlemen.
Yeah. You and you have your choice.
I will. I have to get to know you a little bit.
Come on,
why? The studio's awesome. Look,
it's nice.
It's like really professional. I like
yes.
it.
Yes, yeah, we like it too.
Thank you for liking it. It's and Jeremy did a great job.
Yeah.
And there's one lady with red lipsticks there. Wow, behind the window there.
Yeah, that's
She's
Sonia.
Controlling everything.
Yeah. She's running the board.
Wow. Yeah, all right.
And we're here with Sean and Makai. All right. You guys are back, man. And you brought Biling with you today.
I know.
All right.
Yeah.
Sean brought me here. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know,
actually,
he's a handsome chaperone you got.
Yeah,
there.
The one you touched me. I don't know you. It's inspired because he was like kind of forcing me. Biling, we need another song. It's like I literally the story. Can I tell you the story?
Basically, sure.
Yes or no?
Yeah, go for it.
That's why we're here.
Okay, so basically he was calling me. He said, I got some gig for you, perform somewhere for the holiday for Christmas.
Right.
And that was a few weeks ago before the holiday performance was the 10th, right? He kept texting me, calling me. I was kind of busy. He said, are you in or not? So my mind wasn't there. Finally, like I remember it's the 7th. He said, well, we have our DJ, the Veritana, you can cooperate, do some songs together. So I wasn't there. Then he said, I knew he wanted something, but my mind wasn't there. Then he said, on the 7th, I remember he called me, he said, Biling, are you in or not? I said, I'm in. But he said, well, maybe you can choose some holiday song, just sing it. I know he wanted two songs. I said, let me think about it. I'll give you something. At that time, I have no clue what's going to happen. So basically, next day, on the 8th, so at the 9 o'clock, I was sitting, I'm the worst with computer. I don't even know where microphone is. That's how bad it is. So I said, let me try something. From 9 to 10, nothing happens. I said, I can't do it. So I went to a party between 10 to 12. I come back. In the car, I got one melody. So I'm there doing this instrumental. This doesn't work. Sounds weird. I said, I can't do it because it's a whole song. But I said, I sort of had promised him something. I don't want to disappoint him.
Aww.
So then... Then from 12 o'clock on, I was just basically started doing it. It's like a kid diving into an amusement park. My mind lost. I was just there playing until 4 a.m. I look at the clock and the computer is like 3 minutes at 20 seconds. I say, wow, I might have a song. So I hit a button. I heard 3 times. I said, wow, I got a song. It's like, that's the song happened like in 4 hours without me really knowing anything. And just happened like that. I feel like it's really God touched or some. I'm just a tool used by nature to do something.
Right.
Like being used maybe by all of your guys. And he said, yeah. That's funny. I was in the car. That's Ace. I wrote a song. I don't know how to sing it. I drive. I'm trying to get in, you know, because mm-hmm. I don't know how to sing. Then I told him I have another song. He's so brave with all these people. And he said, do it. I need to have no clue what I'm going to sing. I have no clue. So I did it. Then I asked him, I said, you like it? He said, I love this song better than the other one. Right? Then I said, what is it like? He said, like, nothing. It's Biling. It's like cutting edge or something.
So Sean Carnage was your muse, right?
Yeah, it's my muse.
Well, you know what? I got a lot of stuff that I want to talk to you about, and so why don't we just jump into the show, and we're going to play a couple songs, including a Biling track.
Yeah, if you'd like to call into the show, it's 800-893-9562.
Yeah, that's right, and I want to get to your calls, too. We got a caller waiting, so we want to talk to everybody, so let's get the show started, and we'll be right back with Biling on the More Music Radio Pod. All right.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
What happened on that Thursday here at Augusta High School that led to Chris Wood's death?
The fuck is that? Shit! I'm dying in this fucking country-ass fucked-up town. Shit flying in my mouth. The fuck? I can't see pollen. Let's get the fuck out of this country, motherfucker. I can't see me.
The More Music Radio Pod. Broadcasting internationally from downtown Los Angeles. On Skid Row.
Too small to rearrange.
What happened? Are we back? What happened? Did the computer crash? Did the computer crash? Okay, we'll be back.
With my sober friends, I'm still gonna dance day and night with my sober friends. I'm still gonna dance day and night with my sober friends. I'm still gonna dance day and night with you, my sober friends. I got a rehab, I got a rooftop, I stopped smoking, I stopped drinking, I got a rehab, I got a rooftop, I stopped smoking, I stopped drinking. Out of rehab, your light, your faith got me out of rehab. I'm still gonna dance day and night with my sober friends. I'm still gonna dance day and night with my sober friends.
Ooh.
I'm still gonna dance day and night with my sober friends.
Yo, what's up? This is Cool Skull. Call into the More Music Radio Pod, 1-800-893-9562, dog. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, all right. Welcome back to the More Music Radio Pod. We are here with Bai Ling. All right. Good job.
Yeah, you just enjoyed it.
Yeah.
This was a semi-live performance of Bai Ling right now.
Yeah. We just kicked her mic on and she just sang Rehab. All right, Violin's Rehab song.
Rehab.
I really like that song. You were getting into it, too. You were dancing around and stuff.
You know, I haven't heard for a while, so it's like fresh. It's nice. I like the energy, the craziness, the beat.
Right.
It was awesome. You bringing it in the studio live right now.
Thank you.
Jealous listeners.
I got to settle down. I was getting kind of, you know, I was starting to dance a little bit, and I usually don't do that, but... Yeah, well, welcome to the More Music Radio Pod. We're really happy to have you here. We got a lot to talk about. And, you know, we got a couple callers, so why don't we start the show off? Maybe we'll take a call from Carl from Washington. All right. Okay. Carl, you are on the air talking to Bai Ling. What up?
Hey, Bai. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
First off, a few years ago, you did a movie, Love Ranch, my friend Scout. You're fantastic in it.
Thank you.
And a question. Has the journey you went through, you think, changed who you are or made you stronger, or how has it felt for you?
I heard Americans saying, they say that the things don't kill you make you stronger. Right. But I always think the things don't kill you make you more vulnerable. I like that because I think in artists, you have to be vulnerable. Your heart has to be naked, honest, and open. If you become strong, you become stone. I just feel like all my experience make me more innocent, make me more trusting, make me more appreciative. And a lot of people basically on my journey are guiding me. I don't even know it. Like today, like Sean brought me to here. Like all of you, I don't know, but right. I'm excited here. It's like my journey. I feel like I'm lucky to have all the gift because my heart is open, like my song.
Right.
And my new journey, 2012, basically is the new elegant, more ladylike, fresh Bai Ling.
Right.
Because my gift, actually, besides music, that's my craziness. This crazy right. little girl, but I'm a serious actress. Right. I want to give my talent to the big screen. That's my real mission here in Hollywood.
And you've had a long journey too. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to start from the beginning. I don't know. Did she answer your question, Carl? Is there anything else you want to ask her? We're about to jump into this shit.
Yeah, I think the journey really, I learned in America. I feel like China, so like my parents, Americans, like my boyfriend or husband, you know, I've been having romance with, still do. And I have the freedom of being me. I really appreciate the culture and all of you, my new intimate or distant sober friends.
Right. One of these days, I'm going to be your sober friend, but that's after I drink a couple of these.
Yeah.
But
you look sober. Are you all sober or you're drunk or drugged or something?
Well, we play the part. I mean, me personally, I play the part when I go to work. Like, I'm usually high when I go to work because that's the only way that I'm going to be able to take it.
I have seen the studio. So exciting. Look at it. I'm like, we're all ready to, like go crazy here.
Yeah. Well, we're sober tonight. That's not... I think that's a kind of a rare episode.
Right now, I'm sober, you know, whatever. But I mean, we're pretty mellow. We're pretty tame. We're not 25 years old anymore. You know what I mean? We're a little older. Our bodies hurt, and we need a little bit more sleep and a little bit less partying. You know. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So
but we're not like enablers or anything. So don't sweat it. We're not gonna like make anybody do anything they don't want to do.
Hey, so Carl, I got a question for you. What is your favorite Bai Ling movie?
Love Ranch.
Oh,
Love
Ranch? Really? That's a long story. I don't want to go into the Taylor Hackford directed. Actually, I want to share a little bit of story because the part I play, and it's a story about first legal brothel in Nevada in the United States back to the 70s. Okay. And the part I got, she's a highest earner of prostitute in the movie, was originally for like somebody 20 years old, big boobs and blonde and from Vegas. So it's really, really far from who I am. But because of my audition with Taylor Hackford, so earn me the part. So I just, you know, since you brought up, I just, I feel sometimes frustrated as an actress because I'm just talented, gifted naturally. The gift not for me to have, but to give. And I want more roles and to open for me to give my talent to. Like you gave me the stage on the radio to talk about my song, to share with your fans. So that's something I'm grateful. And I hope they open more doors in a big screen and good roles for me to kick ass.
Well, you've had a lot of really good roles. In fact, I think the first role that I remember you from, you were starring with Richard Gere in Red Corner.
Yeah.
You played his attorney, right?
Yes. I do not really know much of English then. I still don't understand a penitent attitude. I never understand, but it's like, it's You know, I got a gift, like, very, because that's just a vulnerability you're showing.
Right.
And really caring and loving for my part to others.
Mm-hmm.
And Richard Gere become my really dear friends. And he so totally support me. When he's not there, he's still there feeding me the lines. He was just, you know, have actor like that, you mm-hmm. just feel you're very lucky.
Mm-hmm.
I was very lucky to have that role. It's 3 months of process. In the end, the director asked me, how you feel, Bailin? I said, after this, you can send me to the mental hospital. It's like a torture process.
It was hard. Was it hard working on that movie and other movies?
And it's like the audition process because everybody wanted the role, and I basically did not speak English. I did not really know Richard Gere that much.
Mm-hmm.
But I just knew that role. I feel it. You know, I feel like I can just give every passion and love and beauty to that role.
Right.
So I just wanted it. But if in the beginning they say you're off, it's okay. But bringing that high, so many competition in,
right.
like screen tests. I remember when I meet Richard Gere, finally, the you know, I have to prove the studio, the MGM.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking me to Barney's and borrowed the suit. Basically, we bought it for, put all the tag inside the suit.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to meet the studio head. Then we returned the suit after the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So then they brought me finally to Richard Gere in Peninsula in Hong Kong. I was outside waiting in his suite.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time, I was like, what's going on? I was so nervous. Finally, he got out with his charming smile. I said, was that beautiful, talented actress you? I have no clue what he was talking about. Basically, he just watched a screen test. At that mm-hmm. time, we're 3 actors. I have a screen test.
Right.
But he embraced me, just gave me a hug, and just like just make him feel so comfortable from first moment.
Oh, wow. He liked you right off the bat, right?
Yeah.
He wanted you for that role.
Yeah, I was so scared because at that moment, it's like somebody holding a string on the air. If they drop, you're going to die. It's like a feeling like that. And he basically just... And how do you say it? Catch me. And
right.
he just so warm to me. I was basically, when I got the role, after 3 months of torture, directed by him, you got the part. You know my reaction is?
Hmm.
My tears just dropping silent.
Yeah.
I just, speechless.
Yeah. Because it had been such a torturous process to get to that point, right?
Yeah. It's like you're so vulnerable and you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. You know, tell me, I want to know a little bit about your beginning, because when you started out as a little girl, you were actually in the Chinese army, right? Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know everything.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I was 14. I was People's Liberation Army in Tibet.
Right.
I think probably part of music. I play pipa. My father teaches composition. So
what
I
is
learned
pipa?
Violin. I learned violin. Pipa is like... 4 strings, like you suppose lady play cover half of your face. You mm-hmm. play like this, a little bit like
oh,
guitar.
Okay.
You play this way.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And I play that professionally.
Oh wow!
So then
you should have brought
Tibet.
The pipa. Maybe you could have busted some tunes.
I play in right corner a little bit.
Oh yeah.
So then I went to Tibet and we sing, and it's magic place. When you sing the mountains,
mm-hmm.
it goes back to you. It's like beautiful Tibetan songs, like loud and echoes back. It's just like the purity of, I think music still, all of you are musicians here.
Right.
And a lot of your listeners too. I think it's the highest form of art because mm-hmm. there's no words. It's just feeling. You can read, you can see everything, but it's through the transformation in your head by this, you know, sound. It's just
right.
amazing.
Right. It's music is universal. It's all vibrations. Mm-hmm. And we could go down that road about how everything's connected by vibrations and stuff. But why don't we take another call? We got Sally in Los Angeles that wants to talk to Bailin. Right there, I guess, on line 2, we got Sally. Sally, you're on the air with Bailin.
Hi, Bai. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Sally, please turn your radio down, God damn it.
I don't have a radio on.
Your computer. I hear it.
I'm not.
Don't try to play
the part
that you don't got something going on in the background because I could hear it.
I swear I don't.
All right.
I'm in my room. I can go outside to make you feel better.
No, it's really okay. Don't. I'm just busting your tits. Go for it.
I'm outside now. anyway, is that better?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, great. Anyway, Bai, I had a few questions actually really quickly. First of all, I wanted to say what a great rendition of Rehab you did.
Yeah, that was great.
Thank you.
We're going to hear some more. We're going to hear some more in a little bit, too. She's going
right,
play
well,
her...
Thank you so much. And back to my question, is that an important song for you? And is it deeply personal, number one? And number two... Did you ever meet Amy Winehouse? And the third question to tie into it all, do you have any advice for Heather Locklear at this, you know,
advice
really
for what?
On?
I didn't hear.
Heather Locklear.
Heather Locklear. What happened to Heather Locklear? Is she okay?
Having some problems right now with...
Yeah. All right. She's OD, and rehab would probably be a good idea. And
I think, yes, rehab is really, really I would say a breakthrough of the music. I'm daring to write a song in 5 hours and lyric music and record it on my own.
Mm-hmm.
It's because encouraged by the, I went to rehab. Experienced that. Also, part of it is inspired by Amy Winehouse, mm-hmm. but we have different direction of going about rehab.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she's actually one of the person I really want to meet, because I think she's, no matter what she does and how people think of her, she's so authentic, loyal to who she is.
Right.
So you want to meet Amy Winehouse?
It's going to be kind of hard to meet her nowadays, though. Yeah. She's kind of hard to.
I just said at that time, and I just like her. I think she's so talented and she's so brave. And
was.
Also,
beautiful
musician.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news here, but she actually has passed on and is no longer with us.
Yeah, you know she passed away, right?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, okay.
And I'm sorry, I said yes or was.
Yeah.
My English is not.
Yeah.
but
I back off, Sally.
Yeah, give her a break, Sally.
We got your phone number.
I think the format of human being. I don't believe there's a death. I think a spirit is still there, just a flash, probably.
The transition.
Gone. Yeah, a spirit is always there. Mm-hmm. I think somehow
this.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And also, through the rehab, I've learned, because I drink alcohol and I'm allergic to alcohol a few times.
Right.
I know it's how dangerous I could be. I could be, like, many times in the sauna room, I was drunk in the sauna room with a high temper. If I let myself close my eyes, I'm dead. So that's how dangerous it was.
Right.
But I believe it's the angel.
That's kind of like what happened to Jim Morrison, right? And he got, like... He was in the
bathtub.
Yeah, he was like in a bathtub and got all.
I think
drunk.
Music, yeah. Music is such a beautiful angel, but also sometimes can be so dangerous because they're luring you. A lot of musicians take drugs that go so far because they involve dissolve and drunken music.
Well, I think a lot of musicians spend a lot of time by themselves, and then like you know, you kind of get stuck in your own head, and you're like, man,
yeah, but
I gotta get out of here.
I think the rehab also is good, not only the music, that also is the message. It's
right.
Like you can have great time, fun, but being sober.
Right.
That's something I learned. I'm still crazy in a way, but I'm sober.
You know, you had a very unique rehab experience because you did it in front of the entire country.
Yeah.
And if people don't know, Bailing, you were on the last season of Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
So, like, tell us what it's like going through rehab when there's a bunch of cameras in your face. What do you think about that?
I was never cried that much. I cried every day. My eyes puffy. I was hurt. I was. I did not really know, because I said no to the show for a long time. Finally, I thought maybe if there's a God or higher beings, like maybe angel, maybe I need to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, now I know the reason. But at the time, it's like sort of like people give you surgery, everything you're open, but with every element around you, bubbled, airs, you don't know what it is. Everybody has their worst moment, and their energies are so strange.
Right.
So I don't know anybody there, but we're forced to be together. Like, it scares me. When I open my eyes, the camera's in front of me. I say, oh, who? It's just like I did not know what I signed into. And also, in that moment, it's like your doctor's patient. You just open yourself.
Right.
Then when the show, you don't even know. I drive to the ocean at 4 a.m. I was hanging around in a strange place getting food and drinks in the diner stuff, because I'm terrified of what they're going to show on TV, because I don't know how they're going to edit it.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, I said, shit, this is the entire world is watching.
You were even nervous. You didn't even want to go inside the place, right, at first. You were hiding in behind the sign at first.
Yeah, I feel like it's like sort of like open my wound.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there's a terrified little girl that I never showed. I never gave her love. I never realized. It's inside of me being revealed.
Right.
And it was terrified, because I've been so open and so honest. Like, but I it's the experience. That's why I was on the roof. It's really, really, I don't know how to handle. I don't know how to deal with it. It's really, really tough experience. And
you couldn't take the people that were in there. So you're like, fuck it. I'm just going to climb the roof. And you were hiding out on the rooftop.
I feel like reading Wild Blues Theater was like kids. I said, wow, this is wonderful. Suddenly I feel freedom there.
Yeah.
And the fresh, and being alone, but in an open place, I'm sort of with the world.
Because you're away from all those assholes down there that were that you're going through rehab with. You went through that rehab with Dwight Gooden, the pitcher, right?
I like him. I think he's a really good man, mm-hmm. and he struggled with his addiction. Addiction?
Right.
Yeah, but I like him. I like him. I like Sean. So we get Sean's really protecting of me.
Uh-huh.
And basically I get to know all of them. I think they're all have their every human being, I think, were capable to be all kinds of things.
Who were some of the other people on that season of Celebrity Rehab with you?
They have Michael Lohan.
Oh, yeah, Lindsay Lohan's dad.
Yeah,
what do you think about that guy? He's kind of a weirdo, huh?
I think he's part of him. Are he believe in Bible, in God? Mm-hmm. He's reading that.
That's already a flag right there. Something's up.
I think part of him is like a child. Another mm-hmm. part, I don't really know his story much, but I just hope that he will. And he's very friendly towards to mm-hmm. me, and I just hope he can be more intelligent as the part he has for his daughter. I think mm-hmm. in that way, somehow people will respect him, like him more, instead of I don't really know his story and going kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm. Do you think he's responsible for his daughter's drug abuse?
I'm not sure their story. I think it's certainly you have something to do with her family when the daughter grew up because you watch your parents.
Yeah, Lindsay Lohan's dad, Michael Lohan, and her mother actually was another nutbag. And it's not a surprise that she's in the situation that she's
in
right
Herbie,
now.
I met Lindsay Lohan. I think she's very smart. I think she'll come back mm-hmm. and to be sober mm-hmm. and to basically be a good actress. So I hope she will. I think she will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because sometimes people don't even have that chance to come back. You know, it's just they end up succumbing to their addiction, and then they're not here anymore. You know,
and also as people get to know me a little bit, like today mm-hmm. I was outside of paparazzi come, all of that. I think you know, you call celebrity or actors, all of them. They're really a person, human being. That's just their job.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be gentle and more kind towards to us or to them,
right?
Because we're so vulnerable in public sometimes,
right? So, who were some of the other people that you were in rehab with?
Have Amy.
Amy Fisher.
Yeah.
Now, that's the lady that, when she was a girl, she was 16 years old. She went over to the house of the man that she was sleeping with, and she shot his wife in the head. And she was getting a lot of trouble. Like, people, I don't know, I kind of agree. Like, I'm, like, not cool with somebody that goes over to somebody's house and shoots the other person in the head, you know? And she was, a lot of people didn't like her because of that, you know?
I think I probably the only one didn't know her because I did not grow up here, have no clue.
Right.
A lot of them, this is celebrity rehab. I don't watch TV, so I don't even know who they are. We're just there hanging out. They were talking about, you know, people are gossip, talking about her. I said, who's she? I have no clue.
Yeah. Yeah, like people don't like people like that, you know. But I guess everybody has their own, you know, their own demons and stuff to conquer.
I think in a way
stuff,
the show basically to show us, you know, through us all different characters, basically we can all resemble to all of us to learn something.
Did you end up watching the season of Celebrity Rehab that you were on?
I did watch it because I promised I was tweeting on my real violin. I was tweeting to my fans because
so you'd be watching it. And then
I actually,
you'd be doing
surprised. I helped. I'm so honored that I've been inspired to. I've been the inspiration to a lot of people. I was like, even today, like constantly, like people. Like one time, I was trying a dress. Right, this lady come to me and say, can I take a picture? I said, can you give me a second? So I was not that patient in the beginning. Finally, I said, you want to take a picture? She said, no. She was holding my hand and crying. I was like, wow. I said, are you okay? She said, Bailin, you do not even know how many people you inspired.
And you're
the voice of the silent. How many people you've helped? He said, my relatives and my colleagues, probably you'll never meet them.
Mm-hmm.
But you are basically, people look up to you because you're so brave of sharing your experience helping us.
Right, and that probably reinforces you too, hearing that stuff. It like empowers you to continue and keep doing better, right? Because you're an inspiration to people.
I feel like because I'm not from here, if I'm all the way from the East, come to American culture, and I have a voice now, but I think probably it's part of my mission to give love, compassion, and through my experience to share and to show us you're okay. Even when you're, whatever experience you have, you still can stand up, be the beautiful of who you are. Don't be ashamed.
Right, right, right. So how do you think the portrayal on the TV show was, how close was it to reality?
You know what, the show, because I experienced everything, nobody told us of anything. Mm-hmm. It's all real. It's brutally real, whatever it is.
But as far as like the editing, did they try to edit stuff to kind of make it seem like there were things going on, like
I think
to try to create conflict?
No, all the conflict you saw, it's real. Mm-hmm. But probably they just concentrate and make it pointed out those dramas there. Mm-hmm. And the other point when we're sitting here kind of bored and they don't show this.
Right,
and sometimes I wish the show would play baseball or on the field play baseball. I think football, I'm confused, American games. Sorry. I did not know it was hilarious, it's funny. And they didn't show that because some fun were dancing or singing.
Uh-huh.
And it was funny. And a lot of part we have joy. They didn't show. I wish they could show that part.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm kind of getting at is like a lot of times these shows, they'll call reality shows, but like they edit them in a way to create some kind of a drama and some kind of story. So they're cutting out all the good times because people really want to see people at their worst, you know?
Yeah, because I think this show, in a way, Dr. Drew, all of them is a doctor. It's like kind of educational, in a way, for people to learn, to find. I think a lot of people, they're drunk drinking through us.
Mm-hmm.
They realize they learn a lot of things.
Right.
I think that's why they concentrate on our problems instead of having fun.
Is there anybody that you didn't get along with while you were going through rehab there?
I think I'm pretty much get along with everybody.
Yeah.
But sometimes probably the language or the culture, I don't understand them. Mm-hmm. I feel like, actually being honest with you, I feel my heart is so open, so innocent there. Right. I feel a lot of sometimes unpleasant energies towards to me.
Right.
And I reject that. I blind myself from that.
Okay.
So I think that you can basically emerge from all these shadows you don't want to see and keep your heart and your spirit pure. So that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I still, with a kind, compassionate heart for others.
Mm-hmm. Do you? What do you think about Dr. Drew Pinsky?
I think Dr. Drew is really, really intelligent man. Mm-hmm. And he's very elegant and very eloquent. And he, the thing I like him is he always keep patient and doctor of the distance. I never see him dressed down. He always in suit. He come in always at the position of a doctor.
Right.
And he know his position. He know what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically, he taught me one thing. Like he said, Bailing, if you, like I was there, I'm just sharing a little bit. Jeremy there was biting me, right? I was like we're playing around. He said, Bailing, if you let people, like the media, right? How they trash me, I was saying. I said, I said, daring to trash me, also daring to celebrate me.
Mm-hmm.
But Dr. Drew told me, if you give them that, they're going to use that to trash you. Don't give them
ammunition?
No.
Ammunition. There you go. Mm-hmm.
That's what I learned. But that's why he always keep himself as a doctor. So you don't, you can't trash him.
Right.
So that's something I need to learn basically to protect myself.
See, there's always something I think about when I think about that show in particular. Like, I wonder if he's crossing like some kind of line of morality, putting people on TV while they're going through such real shit like that.
Well, that's a show. We call it show, reality show. It is a show. If it's a show, there must have a show element.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can't be helped because people are going to watch and they're going to worry about rating.
Right.
It's a studio, so many people involved.
Right, right,
they
right.
become not as pure as just your, you know, detention center.
Mm-hmm.
Not detention, how do you call it?
Rehabilitation
center. Mm-hmm. So it's not as pure as just where you're as,
as
a patient there. That's just the format of show.
Now, did it help you going through that experience?
Help me, actually, I'm very lucky to be experienced that and openly, because it's challenge. It's really, really brutally challenged mentally, psychologically, spiritually, physically, everything. I think it'll make me much more appreciate of the process. I think sometimes it's like more difficult you went through, if you have the right mindset, you're not complain. Like now I learn to take all the negative words away from me. Because you take that away, then they cannot affect you.
Right.
And the shadow's negative energy is not around you.
Jeez, I wish I could be like that.
Yeah, I really wouldn't have much to say if I wasn't for negative stuff.
You take that words like hate, jealous, all of these things first off your vocabulary. And become more and more innocent, because life literally is this moment of life. We're talking to each other. Yesterday's illusion, tomorrow's illusion. I think we have to appreciate this moment.
Right.
One time there's a woman actually in a Facebook or internet and asked me, she wanted to kill herself. I said, why? She said like, I'm going through all this shit, all of that. She's drinking and smoking. I said, well, you're too much concentrated on you. I said, you never appreciate this moment of life. It's a gift for you. It's a free, most expensive gift, this breath of air, your breath. You know, we don't learn about that. We're too much busy. You know, like Chinese New Year's come up. Chinese listen, happy Chinese New Year.
Yeah, that's on Monday, right?
Yeah, I was tweeting. I said, the New Year's for you is to forget about life. Be the authentic of who you are. We're always there to earn things, to prove things, but you never live as who you are. After you're already old, you don't even know what you missed. Too much material things were caught in the contemporary society.
Wow, you are really dropping it for us right now. You are schooling us. We are learning.
It's like my new song. It's a true song about love. What's a true love? But where you text me and
you know what?
It's like about.
I want to mention this too. Like this is the first time meeting you, and from what I've seen, like especially like in celebrity rehab and stuff that I see in the media. Like, and I think that you feel this way too, and I think this is something that you've been trying to get away from. Like, I think people kind of underestimate you. They kind of think that you're just kind of like an empty-headed, just all beauty and no substance, you know?
Yeah, that's something, of course, I have responsibility. I have a little spirit, probably they only see one of them, the eccentric, that one.
Right.
And that crazy one. But I have so many other intelligence and wisdom, a kind heart.
Right.
That's really who I am in my spirit. And I wish people can really celebrate that, because it's something I really have a pure heart for humanity, for love and compassion.
Right. It just seems that people tend to like to, and I may be guilty of it myself, sometimes people tend to just be attracted to like the negative aspect of it, you know what I mean, with all these shows, and it kind of hypes it up, you know.
I think I understand, like magazines shows gossip, you know. If I always like elegant, like traditional Chinese, and the thing's boring, and I'm really a free spirit, and also I did not come to Hollywood. I'm not from culture. That's why I often say I come from the moon. I landed there. I don't know how to be a bilingual in Hollywood. I don't know how to be movie star, how to be celebrity. How do I know? You know, first time when I did Red Corner, right, with Richard Gere, then people start to know me. I went to
good in that movie.
Thank you. I went to a red carpet, then people ask me, bilingual, what you wearing? As I'm wearing a jacket. I have no concept. I'm not from you. Say, who made it? I say, I don't know. It's like I don't know. Then I start learning this Dao Chi Kao Pan, all these names, very difficult. But for me, I'm lucky that I don't know. I'm not caught on this designer. I think today, even in Asia, all over, people are so slave to the designers. Designers are great, but where's the individuality? You're Dao Chi Kao Pan, Giorgio Armani, but where are you?
Yeah.
I just feel like we're so slaved to whatever the magazine tell us, the best dress list. But by the way, at Golden Globe 2 days ago, I dressed like really, really elegant. I'm changing. I made it onto the best dress list.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy in that way. Thank you.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you know what? Let's take a couple calls. We have Gary from Woodland Hills calling up right now, and he wants to talk to Bailey. And Gary, you're on the air.
Gary, who are you wearing?
Yeah, who are you wearing tonight?
What am I wearing? I'm wearing a red T-shirt, blue jeans, and tennis shoes.
Oh, all right. Who's that by?
Okay.
I'm sorry. Never mind.
How are you, Gary?
I'm a big fan. I think you're very unique, very intelligent, and beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, you're talking about it. Okay.
I love the Three Extremes movie.
Oh, dumplings.
Oh, yeah.
Dumplings.
That's right. Dumplings.
Oh, Chinese New Year, we all eat dumplings.
That was incredible. And Anne and McCain, and I want to know how it was working with Jodie Foster.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, you worked with Jodie Foster and Anna.
I shaved.
You
as
shaved
a woman,
your
hair? My hair was this long. I shaved. I cried so much.
Wow.
You know, like when you shave as a woman, either you become a nun or you go to jail. You know, normally you don't shave. It's really, really a challenge for me.
Shave your head bald.
So you have no hair, you can't hide, except for a woman, it's just terrifying. But I'm glad I went through that.
So you work with Jodie Foster in that one, right?
Yeah. I work, I'm lucky.
Thanks for the call, Gary. We got rid of Gary right now.
I'm so lucky. I worked with a lot of Hollywood big, handsome male stars and talented female stars.
Now, out of these stars that you were in movies with and that you worked with, did you ever get any romance with any of these stars?
Well, that's something I have to be, I think private.
Very discreet.
Privacy should be private.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty much like
I don't
the
want to get myself getting into trouble, you know, because it involved other people's personal life, you know.
Right.
And,
but at the same time, we want to know who you went out with that is famous.
Well,
are you dating right now?
I don't have an exclusive relationship now.
You know, I saw you with
Chris Isaac.
I saw you with Chris Isaac one time.
Yeah, you know, the he has a beautiful voice and he always singing to me that I don't... The first song I learned from him is like, wise men say only fools rush in.
Oh, that's a good
one. I did a music video, please. Mm. And it was fun.
Well, maybe we'll come back to that question. Right now, let's take another call. We're going to talk to Matthew from Ohio.
Ohio, Matthew, all right. How are you?
Matthew, are you there? You're talking to Bai Ling.
Hi, Bai.
Hey.
I mean, Ling.
Ling, Bai.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Happy Chinese New Year. You're not Chinese, I know.
No, I learned the Chinese New Year song, though.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, really?
Busted.
Yeah. Zhen yin dao, fang bian pao, pi li pa la, zhen ren nao.
That's good. It's a children's song. Mm. Nice.
It goes on and on, yeah.
You're a show-off, Matthew.
Oh, I'm taking Chinese right now.
Really?
Cool. So what's going on in Ohio right now, man?
Guns N' Roses are getting inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah?
Sean
Carnage is from Ohio, too.
Hey, man.
Connery's from Scotland.
No, not Sean Connery. Sean Carnage.
Carnage?
Sean Carnage over here.
Yeah, he's our guest here, too, so don't...
Getting hot?
Yeah.
Say hi to Sean.
Part, he's trying to play it cool.
What part?
The part that rocks.
Lake Erie, right?
Cleveland.
Cleveland rocks.
What's that?
What part of Cleveland?
Oh, I lived on Mayfield Road for many years.
Cool. In Cleveland Mayfield. Heights. That's nice. Yeah. I got a ticket there once.
And I lived in downtown Cleveland for a long time on 40th and Perkins.
Okay.
All right.
weird places. What about you? Where do you? Where
do
you
hang
out?
Hang up on them.
I'm living in Akron off Market Street.
Oh, cool. Mm,
okay.
I saw Tool down there.
Yeah, Tool's cool. Yeah, I saw them at Lollapalooza 3.
Cool, man.
At Buckeye Lake.
Nice. Yeah, I went to that.
So yeah, man, you have Bai Ling right now on the line. So is there anything that you want to? What's your favorite Bai Ling song, by the way? We just heard Rehab, and I think in a little bit we're going to hear You Text Me. I don't
you
know you.
You Touch Me.
You Touch Me. Because I hear the word Text Me.
I've heard two songs, but I like the Text Me, and I don't know
really?
You.
Really?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Is this true? Like we touch each other, we tweet each other, Facebook each other, we don't know each other.
Right. It's true. Yeah, a lot of people call...
We live in the same world. I mean, we can't help but interact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just better when you interact in person like a real human beings, because like a lot of the people have like 800 Facebook friends. It's just like in reality, you can never have that many friends, you know?
Yeah.
I have that many friends.
Yeah? How many?
I could tell.
How many of the Facebook friends do you actually see in real life?
None of them.
I see them all.
You see all 800?
Most of my friends aren't on Facebook.
Yeah?
They're out in the real world.
Okay, cool.
He sees them on Skype.
Well,
thank you for calling, Matthew. Really appreciate you.
Yeah, say hi to guys with my voices
for
us.
Love you, Ling.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
Love you, Matthew. Okay. So, yeah, man. So, you know what? Let's take a break, play another couple songs, and when we get back, maybe we can have you play You Touch Me, I Don't Know You.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll see you later.
We'll be right back.
You are listening to Radio Portal from Skid Row Studio in downtown Los Angeles, California, at the Skid Row. www.tool.la.
Skidrow.la, are you FAA or FCC?
We're DIY.
DIY? What's that mean?
Do it yourself.
Do it yourself.
Curtains up and down the surrounding walls, cause that's exactly what the fuck it is for y'all. With the blinding flash, I turn the club to ash, with the slide of hand and the burning match. Bitch, for the safety, hate me. When they pay me a visit, I stand still. So maybe they'll mistake me for a trash can or a water heater. I'm like the phantom of the high school prom cafeteria. Just got a goddamn shipment in the TNT, drove by me across the U.S. line, and it's about time for the finale. Are you ready to die, motherfucker? This suit will protect me as your ass burn up off your fucking burning car. I light a big ass blunt, inhale big ass blunt, put the smoke in your face, cause humans are a motherfucking goddamn straight, bitch. Pyro, pyro, technique, burn that shit on that motherfucker. Pyro, pyro, technique, burn that shit on that. Burning all the bitches that were trying to diss me. Lighten up the club until you extra tasted crispy. When they all dead, I'm hunting down the promoter. Kill his fucking ass and then I go smoke some Ota. We give a shit about anything that breathes. Torch is fucking cover, but we rob your dead ass and leak. I might fuck a club for seven on my way out. Give the fucking Mormons and Midway a fucking shout out.
I'm gonna burn this motherfucking place down. Your ass either already dead or face down. Pulpit.
watch how awesome. I do this often. My hobby, my job. Cause on Earth, it's all about Iron Hall. Fireproof. I speak the truth. While your underwear smells like a baby poo.
This is David Lieberhart.
And this is Adam Papagan.
You're listening
to the More Music Radio Pod on Skid Row. Hey. Yeah, welcome back to the More Music Radio Pod. We are here with Bai Ling. All right.
Can you feel it?
Hello, everyone. Happy Chinese New Year.
Happy Chinese New Year to everybody.
It's going
to
be the year of the dragon.
Year of the dragon.
That's right.
What year were you born in, Bai?
I'm born in the year of elephant.
Oh. I'm the year of the snake.
Does that mean, like, you never forget?
I don't know.
I don't know. That's what they say about elephants, that they never forget.
Dan, what animal year were you born?
Yeah. You know what? I don't know, but it feels like a rat. I'm just guessing. I don't know. 77.
That's year of the snake, man, just like me.
Year of the snake.
Mm-hmm. Year of the horse.
All right. We got a snake, horse, elephant. Anybody else?
Dog. Pig.
And pig. All right. We got the whole barn over here at Skid Row Studios. It's a weird barn with an elephant in it, though, but I saw that on
Big
Top
Pee-wee. Well, they're all animals.
So, you know what? We want to hear a Bai Ling song. We want to hear you perform another song. Are you ready to do that?
Yeah, I'll try.
Do you want to play the You Touch Me, I Don't Know You song?
Yes.
All right. So right here live on the More Music Radio Pod, we're going to listen to You Touch Me, I Don't Know You by Bai Ling live. All right.
Fire up.
Me, I know you. You touch me, I know you. You tweet me, I know you. You Facebook me, I know you. You dance with me, I know you. You kiss me, I know you. I know you, I know you. I don't know you. You text me, I know you. You touch me, I know you. You tweet me, I know you. You Facebook me, I know you. You take me home, I know you. You make love with me, I know you. I know you, I know you. I don't know you. You ask me what I want. You ask me what I want. I wanna make love with you, walk away. I wanna make love with you, walk away. Walk away with you. I want you love me with your heart. I want you love me with your soul. I want you love me with your eyes. I want you love me. Jump off the cliff on the other side is only love. Pure love on the other side. On the other side is only love. Pure love. On the other side is only love, pure love. On the other side is only love, pure love. You tweet me, I know you. You Facebook me, I know you. You dance with me, I know you. You kiss me, I know you. I know you, I know you. I don't know you. You touch me, I know you. You tweet me, I know you. You Facebook me, I know you. You take me home, I know you. You make love with me, I know you. I know you, I know you. I don't know you.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah. I really like that song.
Thank you.
Oh, man. That's awesome. Biling with You Touch Me, I Don't Know You. So what's that song about?
I think it's actually somebody on Twitter said it's biling. Basically, it's how do you say it? It's like powerful statement I made about the social media, like internet age. Today, like what's going on? It's like you text me, you tweet me. It's about people getting so intimate with each other, making love, kissing. They don't even know each other.
Right.
But what is true love? That's why people are on the surface of dating. But what is true love? If you're daring to go with me, jump on the other side of the cliff.
See
true love, it's a risk you have to take. And it's a love song. I think it's a beautiful love song about true love. And basically she said, what do you want? I want to make love with you. Walk away with you. And I say, I want you to love me with your heart, with your soul, with your eyes.
Oh, I thought that part was like, I want to just hit it and quit it kind of thing. Like, I want to make love with you and then you walk away from me and you just leave me alone.
No, it is. Then I say, walk away with you. It's I want the truth, the real thing. It's kind of a twisted of the words.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because I had that in my head. And I'm like, well, now I know the real meaning of it.
Yeah. I think it's just something about contemporary love and dating. And I think it's a profound of message. It's like if you see YouTube's, I shoot a video. It's like I'm making a music with the pop culture together. It's something, I don't know, it's just something, it's not only about a song, it's to encourage others, whoever your fans, they're listening, to be who you are, to contribute, to be you, to create something, and don't be afraid.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking about dating, do you have? Is it easy for biling to connect with somebody?
It's very difficult. Now it's like sometimes I go out with people. They know everything about me before I'm even saying anything. I say, well, I shouldn't be here. And also, they were like with me. They were stuck Google. I said, come on, I'm live here. Why you Google stuff? It's
funny.
Right?
So they're hanging out with you and they have their phones out.
Yeah,
like,
they go, oh, I just checked this. I said, I'm here. Why don't you ask me?
Yeah.
I feel like I shouldn't even be there. It's like kind of a, and it's hard to trust people. And because you don't know what their agendas are.
Right.
And it's really, I'm in a very open, vulnerable position because I want a true love. I want a real thing. But somehow I sort of cannot. It's really unfortunate. And I'm totally brutally like a romantic person. I'm not really realistic. Therefore, I'm not married. I would like to get married, you know, have family. But sort of like I'm always in myself in a state of a romantic little girl's mental mind of of in love with pure idea of true love. That's why my song's about what is really true love.
Right.
How can we find that?
Have you experienced that before, true love?
Many times.
Yeah.
I'm lucky. Like my heart is open. I'm easy to fall in love with the things I really feel loved. But, you know, I believe like a love, sometimes I feel like, you know, even I'm not supposed to say like one night or whatever lifelong experience with somebody, you're lucky to feel that true love. Because the links of life of love is not what you can control. But that moment of life, then you experience that's beautiful. And that's something I'm very ideally like romantic about true love and pure love.
You got a lot of guys chasing you right now?
I have a few.
Yeah?
Few.
What's a few?
I don't know. I think I'm nice. I'm kind of charming, and sometimes I'm really funny. I think people feel like very fun with me and good time.
You make people feel comfortable.
I'm very open. I'm very giving and innocent, and I think I have good time. I'm not like trying to ask people for things. You know, I'm just me, and whatever I can share and give good time and good gift, sharing that beautiful. How do you say relationship? I don't know. I'm in that department. I'm not very good at society to have family and to get married. That things are seem to me a very heaven.
Do you see yourself in that role as being married, settled down, have a family?
I do. Before I say it, but I don't mean it. But I'm mm-hmm. like traveling around. I like to always have romance. I think it's always beautiful when you get into a relationship in the moment, in the beginning, very romantic. Mm-hmm. And as things go along, somehow the romance becomes less. Mm-hmm. But I like today after rehab, after my basically mature myself, so I think I wanted more because I think with somebody you're really exclusively connected, you can go much deeper. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're on the surface. So I want a deep, beautiful love relationship now for this year.
Right.
I'm serious now.
Are you close now?
Very close, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you got a boyfriend
right
now?
So things will happen.
Well, as I said, I can't really share. But my heart is open.
Is it a famous person? Let's see if we can guess.
No, I don't.
Care Top.
He's pretty cut.
Secrets.
You can protect somebody.
Oh, man. We hate secrets on this show.
Why? No, this is private. It's not secret. It's private. What about you? Are you married or something?
No, I have a girlfriend.
I mean, look at him. Jesus.
I love her very much, and she loves me, and we have that right now.
Really? How many years?
2 years.
Oh, you're lucky.
Yeah.
Where is she now?
Very beautiful. She's actually at home right now sleeping. She's a professional woman.
She's in Canada.
What do you mean
you wouldn't
professional
know her.
Woman?
She's a social worker. And
like
she's
what?
A therapist.
Oh.
And she's like a healer. Like she heals people with like magic and stuff.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's cool. But yeah, what about all of you? Are you all engaged or married?
I'm married.
A street or...
I'm
gay
married,
or something.
Even though I look all beaten, unkept. Yeah, I actually have a wife. But
yeah?
Yeah, she's at home. Hi, Amanda.
Congratulations. Hi, Amanda. What about you?
Yeah, I have a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
So we're all taken. Sorry.
Yeah.
What about you, Sha?
I'm married.
Oh, you're holding his hand.
Yeah.
Very intimate. What's wrong with you?
We're G-A-Y.
Are you guys actually married?
Gay,
did you
day.
Go through like
no.
a ceremony or anything?
No,
like
no, we're not really married.
Sean, seriously, no? First time I see a Western two men holding hands.
Yeah.
You're holding his hand.
This is
you
the first
like,
time
that
I've
is
seen
forbidden.
Two men holding
hands.
No, I don't
that
see in Asia we do, but in here I don't see two men holding hands.
No.
That means something else.
Yeah? What is it? What about you? Are you married or a boyfriend, girlfriend or
no, they're boyfriend.
Yeah.
That's why you always see me everywhere.
No,
it's not a secret.
I didn't know.
Where you come from?
Because he says he's married. I wouldn't.
Yeah, to a man.
Oh, nice. I couldn't tell you. You act so gentleman with me.
Oh, I see. You didn't know I was gay.
I didn't know.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I should have asked you for a date.
Hey, so Sean, like if they actually give you the go-ahead and they allow two men and two women to marry each other, will you take the step?
Wow.
Are you going to propose here to Makai on the More Music Radio Pod?
No, I already told him that. I already asked him if he would marry me, but we can't get married because marriage isn't allowed. But I, you know.
Right. You can't
marry
in
married
state.
In the eyes of
our cat.
Oh, nice.
You are married in the eyes of the More Music Radio Pod.
What about,
thank you.
Is there a rule to ask if you're
we
gay or not
you.
In American culture? Is there a rule to ask if you're gay or not?
No, I mean anybody. No, they just had a thing in the military where like you couldn't. It was like don't ask, don't tell, or whatever.
Yeah,
they repealed that, so it's like
it's okay now.
So
okay.
It's a big party, man. Just do whatever.
Is
you
it?
Want.
What that's is right. it like in China where you come from? How is homosexuality looked at in China?
I don't think when I grew up, I even have the concept of what is homosexual. I have no clue. Like mm-hmm. where a woman always. Sleep together, taking shower naked together, we're holding hands all the time. Probably mm-hmm. we like
there
it,
just
but
wasn't
we don't
like
know.
A like a name for it, you mean?
Yeah,
or?
We don't have it. But now I think it become like a trendy thing. Like when people are learning from Western culture become like they're trying something, experimental or something. I'm not sure. So it's like I never knew. Like I was in the army, like we sleep together, we do everything together, we see everybody like naked all the time, and we're fond of each other, but we don't know what it
but
is.
But usually what we mean by homosexuality is like having like sexual contact and that kind of sexual intimacy, same sex. Is that like kind of looked down upon? I mean, I guess I already know the answer.
I think that's secret in the society of Asian culture. Mm-hmm. But of course, and underneath, close the door, we don't know. I think it's more and more, and people discover their who they like. Before, like our cultures, like before, it's really, really trained. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to believe. You don't even know you can like the same sex.
Right.
You know, but now that people are more free, they start to discover that part of themselves they don't even know.
No, is Biling cool with that? I hope we're all cool with that, right?
I'm cool. This culture, they say, are you bi? I say, yeah, I'm bi. They were like, really? Are you bi? I say, yeah, I'm bi. I'm like so confident. You say, you just say it like that. I say, yeah, I'm bi. What's wrong? They were like, I have no clue because I say, why they give me that eye? They say, bisexual. I have no clue. Like, I'm bi. I appreciate women. I think they're beautiful. I'm not jealous. I appreciate their beauty. I think it's God-giving. They're just beautiful. And I appreciate them.
But you're more attracted sexually to men.
Yeah, I like a distance because we're different. Mm-hmm. Whatever I have, you don't have. You have, I don't have. There's something like a mystery of something that I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know you. You touch me.
And what kind of men do you like? Like, what kind of men are you attracted to?
I attract a lot of musicians, like singers, before in my journey because I love music. They represent a part of the format of the romance of art. That just like my soul, because my father teaches music, play violin. I learn all of that. Mm-hmm. So I think there's something just naturally. Mm-hmm. I love music.
And the man that you're dating right now is a musician?
Oh, snap.
Let's talk about something else.
This is like a venue of just freeing yourself and just like being honest and just letting it
fly. I am very honest, very free. I'm just like, I'm
careful.
You know, a lot of people think like I'm very open.
But like, what's the big deal if people know who you're dating?
I'm confused. I don't know how to answer that.
Do you think the guy that you're seeing right now might be upset because you mentioned it, or is it because people are going to be in your business? Because you're famous, so you were even talking about paparazzi following you around. Mm-hmm. So you want to kind of guard that, protect that,
yes,
and keep that for yourself?
I think somehow when a relationship is public, often it's bad because people are going to participate in the relationship and make it bad.
Right.
Seriously, I think they're supposed to be very pure, very secret, very private. I think that's something you have to protect. Otherwise, the relationship is not just fun or just a show.
Right. And you don't want people to think less of your relationship. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I want everything from now on like beautiful, in the right track and healthy.
Yeah, because I always trip out at like Jay-Z. You know Jay-Z the rapper? He didn't want to like, everybody knows that he's with Beyonce. They're going to have a baby, but they don't want to talk about it, you know? Mm-hmm. And there's some like couples that don't, like famous celebrity couples, they don't want to actually talk about it, and that's always like weird to me. Like I always like I wouldn't like not want to tell you who my woman is, you know.
I would be like, if it's myself and if it's not other people involved, I'd be so proud to tell the world. But I had an experience that's not very good. I should not talk about it.
Oh, so you had a bad experience talking about
it? Yeah, it's just
like
I think make things are not pure and any other element involved.
It complicates it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it's become really not pure anymore.
So this guy's a musician. Okay, so, okay.
That's why
do you know who it is, Sean?
I cannot say.
Oh, so Sean knows who it is.
Right. I'm not saying anything. Keep it secret.
We only talk about music.
Yes.
It's true.
Is he listening right now?
Who?
Your man. You're getting shy. You're blushing.
I am blushing.
You're pulling
now.
You're pulling
with all the men here,
face.
I know. Yeah. I'm not as brutally in that area. I'm still a shy traditional Chinese woman.
So being shy, you know, I wanted to ask you, what was it like being on the Howard Stern show? I'm a big Howard Stern fan, and I remember when you were on that show. Yeah. So, like, what was your experience like meeting Howard Stern and being on that show? I mean, were you afraid to go on it? Did you know what kind of show you were going on?
Yeah, in the first time I was so terrified. A lot of people say, don't go on, he's gonna tear you apart, he's gonna be like so mean.
Yeah.
And plus like a lot of jokes I don't understand. I was so terrified, but I was there, and actually he's very nice to me. I think he made a lot of jokes in the first time, but second time, not so long ago, I was promoting Rehab.
You're right.
And he was so nice to me. A lot of people say like, wow, surprised that he's really respectful.
Yeah.
He and Robin, they watch your Celebrity Rehab. I think they feel for me. And he's like, I think there's some like our dynamic with all of you are very smooth, and we have this chemistry work very well. Mm-hmm. And with him, I just naturally, we click. In a way, I'm working very easily. Like, we're joking around, he's joking around, but it's flow. It's just naturally, like, beautiful dance. And I appreciate that he gave me opportunity to be on his show. I think he's like king of the media.
Yeah.
And I like him. I really like him. I think he's really intelligent. He's funny. And he doesn't give a shit. You know, he's like, be himself and challenge the society and how to say, break opens a lot of forbidden areas, you know.
Right.
I like people are challenging some. I think in the society, sometimes we're brainwashed and we learned to obey in a way that you lose yourself. Like, he's always wake you up, make sure that you who you are, and he challenge you and question you.
Right. Yeah. And that's what I like. That's what I like about Howard Stern. He's like very honest, you know, and he's just not very open, and he doesn't really hide anything, you know, and he kind of makes people feel comfortable.
He does. When I was there, like every time I was there dancing with him, it's fun. I would just feel like at home. They really make me feel at home. Like I'm not scared anymore. So the first time and second time, I've been on his show three times. I mean, second time I was dressing. I said, what am I going to dress? And he said, Biden always dressed sexy. And second time, I dress exactly like him. He was like, wow. It's so funny. I said, my heart's down here.
Did he turn you on?
Well, he talked about a lot of sexy stuff, sexual. He's keep going there.
Yeah.
You know, I had fun talking about it. You know, it's like in the room, it's like here, like kind of the temperature, because I'm afraid of cold. The temperature is kind of hot, and it's just very comfortable. Like, we're like dancing, not touching each other, but kind of flirting and seducing each other.
Yeah, you guys dance together.
It's fun, yeah. Like, even like, I think in talk shows, like there's people, your listeners like it because they're dynamic. It's like we're... like seducing each other, you know, flirting. It's fun.
So you had fun on his show, right?
Had a great time.
So how does it compare to other shows that you were on?
Like, I've never been on a show with all these handsome young gentlemen around me, like 10 of them. You know, I feel
the
like
radio
that's why I was blushed, because so many of them, you are here. And you're so making me feel very comfortable. I do not feel nervous.
We're not going to attack you.
Actually, we're worried out because we're not used to people being comfortable around us.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Well, you must really like me then.
So no, you're awesome.
I appreciate the opportunity. You know, it's American culture and music for me. It's new. It's fun for me to try something, to challenge myself and challenge others.
Yeah. And it's really cool that you came and shared your music with us over here.
Yeah.
I really like the two songs that we heard. Are you going to sing another one?
I only have two songs now, but I'm going to keep writing it because it's so easy for me. Like, 5 hours I can write a
There's
song.
There's another one about parking lot, the parking lot one.
I think you're thinking of Manhattan
that's
Murder
Mystery. I forgot that one. I was before. I was like, I don't love parking my life. It's like two people making love, man and a girl. It's literally my where I live. They say, Biling, you have to move your car at 6 a.m. I get up. I was so mad. I move my car. I come back. I hit the drum, which I bought from Africa.
Uh-huh.
And I just start to play. As everything I do in my song one time, I was just, I don't know why. I just come that way. I say, wow, it's kind of cool. Nobody does songs like that.
I like those songs.
Really? Parking my lobby?
I like that one. It's kind of weird. It sounded kind of weird, strange to me. It was like,
let's all just wake up.
You know, we have somebody on hold right now. I think it's Carl from Washington. I think we spoke to Carl a little while ago. Carl, you're back. What's going on, man?
I'm sorry. The phone got disconnected, but you were telling me about your role in Love Ranch.
Am I what?
Your role in Love Ranch?
Yes. I enjoy her because she's a symbol of the history, you know, in a brothel, American history, which I was never part of it. But I feel, you know, like I was the first Asian, I should talk about, like a woman on the cover of Playboy magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And in that role, I played highest earner prostitute. I think in a way, and God or higher being gave me the sensuality as a woman, as an actress. I think that's, in the first time I come to the United States, when people say, you're sexy, I was so hurt and mad.
Why?
Because, like, in our culture, when somebody says you're sexy, it means bad. Now
really?
I embrace it. I think, wow, it's nice.
That's interesting.
Sexy.
So, like, is, like, sex, like, a bad thing in China? Like, sexuality is bad? You don't want to show that?
You just can't. When men say that to you, that means something, they have this dirty thoughts, you know? Like, first time I was, like, in States, they say, oh, I love you. I love your eyes. I said, these are so bad. I said, they said, I love your ass. I didn't understand. I said, Americans are really open. But I just feel now I learned, I become much more open. I understand the idea. And when I came here, I feel like everything, like I get hurt. And like American culture, I come to party, I say, oh, I call you soon. Let's have lunch soon. I take it. Like one time I was like, so nice meeting you. I say like, oh, I'm special to him. I'm looking at this man. I just watching. And he says, so nice to meet you, to everybody. I was kind of hurt. You know?
Yeah. Because it wasn't special. Yeah.
I know, but in my culture, like you say those, nice to meet you. Mm-hmm. And it has to be some, everybody call you a sweetheart, honey. I say, it doesn't mean anything. Everybody says, I love you. Uh-huh. Like in our culture, if you say that, that means something special. Mm-hmm. So those things I'm learning about Western culture.
Yeah. And Western culture, pretty much everybody's full of shit, I guess. Everybody says the same shit to everybody
else.
Yeah,
how do I know you mean it or not?
Well, it's how hard. You know is the closer sometimes. You are to the water, the less like you mean it.
Really?
Like the ocean? No, yeah. Never mind. Don't worry about it.
So how can you know just if kidding. You're telling me
what he's
truth?
Trying to say is like the people who
like people
live...
in L.A. and New York were big fat phonies, but people in the middle of the country, they'll probably tell you how it is, I guess. Never mind. I'm just talking about
guess. I think in Hollywood sometimes difficult because of show business. And sometimes we get lost in it too, you
right.
know. And it's the real life and the show business kind of a mix.
Show business can be very phony. There's a lot of phony people out there, and so how do you deal with that? Like, are you always like, kind of trying to figure out if someone's being genuine with you?
Yeah, I think I've been hurt or misunderstood from the media, mm-hmm. and they keep talking about, you know, I was free and open, but I don't have any other agenda, but mm-hmm. just be myself, like a little girl having fun. Mm-hmm. And but besides that, I think Hollywood still, there's so many beautiful, beautiful artists there. Mm-hmm. Like I work with George Lucas, I work with Terrence Malick. You know, a lot of great directors, actors, friend of mine, I think like brilliant, brilliant artists here. And nowhere has but in Hollywood. They created all these dreams for us.
You were in a lot of Chinese movies, right? You're a big star, even a bigger star in China than you are in the U.S. So
also, I did a French movie with Luc Besson called Taxi 3. I speak a little bit French.
Oh, really?
Je peux parler le français.
Oh, wow. I don't know what that means
either.
Yeah,
I did, I did a movie called Dumplings.
Three extremes, right?
No, Three Extremes are three short films, but I watched Dumplings on Netflix.
Netflix.
It's crazy movie, and it's a horror movie, but it's so sexy in a way, so brilliant. So the part I play, actually, I won the Asian Academy Award for it. And also four other most important awards in Asia, I won all of them. So that role is nothing like me. It's just brutally something else. Even my parents, how did you have these ideas?
So in that movie, Three Extremes, it's like three short movies, right? You're in the Dumplings movie, right?
The one Lionsgate release is a three short film by the best director from Hong Kong, from Korea, and from Japan.
Okay.
It's an idea from beginning.
Okay. So it was like the short length version, and then there was like the full
But then,
length.
Because our film is so good, then we release as a feature film and just called Dumplings. Mm-hmm. The other one, three of them, called it Three Extremes.
Uh-huh.
But if you have to watch a long one because they cut the two most powerful. Brutally, like one is abortion thing, one is love making thing, the most like primitive kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
You have to watch in the long version.
So you got to watch a director's cut of Dumplings then, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And in that movie, it's like, I don't want to give it away, but...
Don't.
For people who, you're there's a way that you keep yourself young. Your character keeps herself young, right?
Yeah. It's like I have a therapy, you know, everybody come to visit me.
Uh-huh.
But she's kind of having fun and kind of enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of wicked in a way. But it's really, really in a way done kind of alluringly beautiful, dangerous. You know, it's fun.
What was the first American movie that you were in?
The Crow.
The Crow, all right. Mm-hmm. With Bruce Lee's son.
Brandon Lee. I did not speak English. It's like that experience so weird. And so when I think about it, it's kind of like scary.
That's, mm-hmm. Yeah, that was
that's cold.
You weren't on set when that like terrible thing happened when he got shot, right?
Actually, no, I was not. And mm-hmm. I think that thing, what happened to him, was a very simple thing. He just walked out from grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when there's really dangerous thing like this table, this big, we were there. Mm-hmm. And I don't read English then. I was sitting, don't say they're going to explode. Like everywhere have the thing you cannot touch.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing happened. And when he come in, that's a very simple thing. When he comes in, we're doing the shot. Basically, they supposed to shoot him and he was on the floor. And they were going to do another take. They asked him to get up. Mm-hmm. I said, come on, get up. And he didn't move. They thought he's joking or something. And they keep and asking him. And finally, they know what happened. It's just very mystical.
There was like a conspiracy thing that somebody loaded the gun with actual bullets. Because it was supposed to have blanks or something, right?
I'm not sure exactly what happened. I think we have second unit was a little bit in a hurry. Mm-hmm. And then the second unit used the same gun. Then they had a shooting. I think something in it. Mm. And I just feel like I don't know what happened. But when we, after probably 3 months, we went back to watch the daily to complete the film. Mm-hmm. I saw him. I was speechless. I said, wow, I knew he was alive. Mm-hmm. I knew just different format and looking at us. And his mother said, we have to release the film. My son wants it. Mm-hmm. And his fiance was there waiting for him to get married. They already set up after that. And he's, you know, it's a funny story. I was basically doing makeup with him. I have this makeup and we were sitting here. He's teaching me to play the video games, right? Mm-hmm. He said, I heard you're Chinese. And I said, yeah. He said, I'm Chinese. I said, you're kidding me. And he looked so white. I said, no. And he said, I'm really Chinese. I said, no, I don't believe you. I said, yeah, my father's Chinese. I said, really? So I didn't pay much. And he said, my father's a famous actor. I said, who's that? He said, Bruce Lee. I said, I never heard of him. He said, what? He said, like, you probably one of the person in the world never heard of Bruce Lee. I was like, I really don't know. Then he was kind of disappointed. Then I feel bad. We were in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I did not speak much. So I called my friend in New York. I said, who's Bruce Lee? Then they said, Li Xiaolong. I said, Because I did not speak English. I did not know the English name.
Right?
So next day I said, I know who your father is. He said, no wonder. He was like, because I don't know his English name. I don't know English. Mm-hmm. So, but he was like we're eating a midnight food and he doesn't want to eat because it keeps his figure and mm-hmm. he works so hard. Mm-hmm. I just watch him. He'll be a huge star, but just something happened. That's why I think a moment of life to appreciate it, to give the best, to give love, because you never know this moment can be taken away. Mm-hmm. Just like that.
Do you think it's like a curse or something? A lot of people say there's like a Bruce Lee curse.
Well, I think the universe.
I guess whenever somebody dies in a weird way, they go, it must be like cursed or something, you know?
I think the universe have their own mystery and own rhythm and own reasons, own stories. And sometimes I just feel like we have to appreciate it, obey, and respect.
Well, you're really deep.
Yeah, it was simple. I just basically probably through my journey, and I learned so many things. I sometimes like I'm writing a song. Literally, I didn't write it. I feel like I'm just a tool of, if you believe it is God, I'm just there to reveal it.
Right.
Like a lot of times, like I do interviews for movie stuff, talking about death and love, all these questions I have as a human being, but when they're answered, I have all the answers. I say, I did not know. I think I'm just, at that time, I'm a messenger or tool used by nature to give these answers. Mm-hmm. I'm very fortunate in that way. So I know that wisdom.
Wow. So what was your favorite American movie that you worked in? Because I know you were in, we talked about Red Corner, and then you were also in like Wild Wild West and with Will Smith, right?
Yeah, he's like so handsome.
Yeah.
Charming.
Is
he a musician?
Not as handsome.
Is that the musician we're talking about? No, it's not.
It's funny.
It's not.
You know, the funny
I heard
thing,
with that guy, it's not.
Like the funny thing in movie, like it's the cross time and everything. Like in real life, I would never touch him, I would never kiss him. Mm. But we don't even know each other. First thing we did was kissing each other. Like we're like, wow, how can you do that? It's like it's kind of a dangerous, like stimulating of something challenge you. You just have to do it. I say, Miss East, Miss West. I started seducing, kissing him. I was like, wow. I don't even know him.
It's like was that the film. First time that you actually had to make out with your co-star in a movie?
We had it like in Red Corner. We didn't use it. Me and Richard Gere and kissed in the end, but we didn't use that in a thing. But I think I kissed in movie a lot of handsome guys.
Yeah?
Movie stars.
And you're saying it's such like an impersonal thing, like making out, kissing somebody that you don't know. But when you're doing that, did you feel in any of those circumstances, did you feel like physically turned on?
Here he comes, he's going to make his move.
It's like funny. I did a movie with John Bon Jovi, right?
Oh, yeah?
I did not know who he was, but he's a big star, right? Mm-hmm. I did not know, so I was very comfortable. So we have to do kissing thing. Mm-hmm. But it's like, it's basically in the wintertime, we're shooting summer thing, right? Mm-hmm. And he was like real kissing me. I said, wow. So, but the thing is, he was like, I was like, wow. The thing is, but because we're in this wintertime shooting summer thing, uh-huh. and when you kiss, then it's, and smoke come out, right?
Yeah.
The air. You're not supposed to see it. We mm-hmm. have to chew in the ice before we kissing. When you have ice, your whole, it's cold. Your whole yeah. mouth is numb when you kiss. Yeah. You don't really know what you're doing. It's so weird. Sometimes in that environment, you're doing like making love, all of that. You're mm-hmm. In that zone, it's like how you're writing songs. You're doing it, but you're not physically aware of it. That's right. The magic of it. It's real. But for others, they think you're experienced. Mm-hmm. I think the love making or the high art mm-hmm. to that extreme, like you're in heaven or in a Zen state of mind. It's like basically you lost conscious. You're just in the moment of drawing and lost. Mm-hmm. That's why it's beauty, because your conscious is gone.
Hmm. I wonder if these guys, when they were kissing you, were thinking the same thing that you were thinking. You know, like, oh, this is like a real thing. This guy, probably Bon Jovi, it wasn't called for him to stick his tongue down your throat, but he just went for it, you know?
I did not know, but I always like Western guys. I think mm-hmm. they know how to kiss, how to make love, mm-hmm. and they're just different culture. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like we're all animals in a way. So I why am I talking about that? You guys, it's late now. We're talking about something dangerous. It's midnight talk show.
We're about to dim the lights right now. Well, cool. You know what? Let's take another break and play another couple songs, and we'll come back with Bai Ling on the More Music Radio Pod. All right.
Thank you.
The More Music Radio Pod. We'll be right back.
Erect, insert, eject, level, erect, insert, eject, level, erect.
Metopolis, please call into the More Music Radio Pod at 1-800-893-9562. More Music Radio Pod. You could edit that, right?
Yeah, cool. Thanks, man.
But keep the you could edit that right.
All right. Welcome back to the More Music Radio Pod. We are here with Bai Ling. All right. And I understand you are the first Chinese person to be on the cover of Playboy.
I think it's late now. We're talking about Playboy.
Playboy, yeah, that's right. We're going to get into it. And we purposely kept it hot in here so we could all take off our clothes and then we talk about the Playboy. But you were on the cover of Playboy. Tell us about that.
Well, I think, be honest with you, I think it's an honor because I'm a woman and Playboy magazine's for men. Mm-hmm. And it's, before I refused to be on it, so my manager said that they're very picky. You know, a lot of people want to be on it. They're very picky of choosing who's on the cover. Mm-hmm. And everything I have, it's real. So I don't have plastic or all of that. So then they keep convincing me. They say, well, Playboy is Western man's mm-hmm. Bible. So I said, oh. So I kind of
that's
like
where they learned it all from.
I'm probably the first because I'm like kind of come from the almost like a primitive like communist country.
Right.
And all the mm-hmm. way come to Hollywood and become the cover of Playboy magazine. It's kind of like.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, it's like, how
that's
did that
huge.
Happen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How it's did like, it happen?
I don't know. It's like. I don't know. A lot of things. I you know what? I learned now. I think a lot of answer meant not have, not a question meant not have an answer. A lot of mysteries, a lot of things are bigger than us. We just have to enjoy, accept it. You know, like sometimes also I learned like when you break up a relationship, mm-hmm. at that moment you desperately want to know why is he cheating or is this and that. Mm-hmm. After 6 months, you don't really care. You know, it's
yeah,
like
well, I mean, sometimes it takes more than that.
Depends who it is.
I'm just saying, like,
it depends on your options.
Depends
actually.
On if you're a pussy like I am.
Like for me, I learned not to really know. I don't have to know the answer. I'm just comfortably accepting it. Whatever happens, sometimes I just enjoy it and appreciate it. I think I'm very lucky to be. You know, the one thing I think I'm doing, which are. A lot of people are don't understand me, and I'm challenging something. I'm making something new. Mm-hmm. Even like I'm doing the song stuff, nobody actually like what I do. This mm-hmm. I'm bravely putting it out there. Mm-hmm. And also like in general, like a lot of like, for example, Meryl Streep, right? And she won all these awards, like she's a jury member of every festival. People respect her. You'll never see her on the cover of Playboy magazine. Right. Hugh Hefner will not ask her to post it, and she will not be on it.
But like, I don't think I want to see Meryl Streep right now.
I'm just saying, I'm making a point. point. Like Pamela Anderson, like Marilyn Monroe, all of them are on Playboy magazine cover. They've never been invited to the jury member or win awards as actress.
Right.
But I'm doing both.
Right.
So this is a new generation of women. Should be like I'm sexy. Doesn't mean that I have to be stupid. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm intelligent.
Got,
I don't have
to
be boring.
Got to celebrate the entire woman.
Yeah, you have to be like 306 degrees, like the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I think we have to embrace our full season, a full nature as a woman, not just you're this, then you're not that. I think the world has to open to accept that.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I'm doing. I think something challenging in a very beautiful or truthful way.
Are your parents still around?
Yeah.
They're still alive? So what are their opinions about, let's say, when you were in Playboy, did they see your Playboy?
Oh, my God. My while ago, it's funny how my mother called me. They don't call me that often. She was mad. She said, somebody cut a newspaper or some magazine. You're nude in the Taiwanese newspaper. I said, my mom, I never did. They put my head into a body. I said, mom, I never do nude. I said that.
Uh-huh.
But then I did Playboy. So I was like, you know, it's funny. At that time, and I was so free to call them, finally my sister called me. My sister, you're going to call your mother, okay?
Uh-oh.
So I called her. I said, mom, I was trying to, how to say it. I said, mom, I'm sorry. He said, oh, we cannot talk later. She was with other people.
Oh, okay.
You know, the funny thing is that we never really talk about it. So my father comes, I was in, talking to my father, he said, I heard, I was so nervous, right?
Yeah, he heard.
I heard something. He has no clue because Playboy, we don't have in China. At that time, when like all the Chinese community, the Playboy sold out. I think all the people trying to take a look. So my father was saying, I don't know what it is. Can you bring one back next time? I said, no. But we never seen in China. We don't know exactly what it is. You know, I was like, I don't want to have that conversation with my parents. It's like, you know, I'm doing things. Sometimes I feel like I'm free, but I'm affect them because they're still in a communist country. They're not as free as I am.
So do they actually get to see your work?
You know, there's another funny thing. I did a Red Corner, right? I was not really allowing to show in China because of the judicial system.
Mm-hmm.
So then I went back to China. They have the black market, all of that. I said, I'm going to get my mother one of the DVD. So I was in China. My mother took me, other people, in the underground, running the little street, going somebody's basement, this loud thing, to buy my DVD for my mother.
Wow.
And it has nothing to do with, this guy's saying, you're selling it. My mother's saying, she's the star. No, you kidding me? She's here? I'm in the black market buying my own DVD for my mother. Uh-huh. And it has nothing to do with this guy's making money, and she has nothing to do with it. It's so funny.
That is pretty weird, too,
yeah,
right?
It is weird.
So it's like almost like a drug deal that when you go get your movie, you got to go to some really like back alley place to go get your movie in China.
Movie of all things.
They don't have Walmart
to get your own movie.
Yeah.
I know, it's funny. It's just
so it's real different over there. Things are really restricted. Things are blocked over there. A lot of information is blocked. Like China's notorious for kind of keeping knowledge out of people's heads, right?
No, I think I'm much more open than you think now.
Really?
It's much, much more open.
The game has changed, right?
Yeah, because it is hard to govern all those people. There are so many people in China. It's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
And we have our own tradition, you know. And I always believe as its own country, as who we are, grow. They have their own growth over time. You can't force it. But I as a Chinese, I think China, so every time I go back, so exciting. Like the clubs, actually, they never ask you for ID. You can stay. They will close until the last person leaves.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all kinds of, they play a lot of American music stuff like crazy. It's like everybody trying to sing what you sing, but not very good.
There's more, a little bit more Western influence allowed in there, right?
A lot.
Because I always have the opinion of China, like from what we hear, it's like an oppressive country and like with a lot of human rights issues.
Oh,
and
no,
stuff.
If you go there now, you don't see that.
It's different
now. So much excitement and freedom and fun and fancy, everything. It's just everything, you name it, we have it there. It's really, really exciting in China now.
Are there any plans to have your parents come and visit you over here in the U.S.?
My mother was here in a celebrity rehab. The VH1 fly her here.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Anybody visit me. So she was in the last one, and she stayed like 3 months with me.
Wow.
Yeah, she's a wild woman, like very like free and
Does she like it over here?
She like it. Yeah. But every day with me, I was like a babysitter, driver, interpreter, everything. My mother say, I say one thing, I'm not going to cook for you. I say, you cannot turn me into cook for you. I'll go crazy. I say, I take you out wherever you want to go. But every day I would just, but I feel like I really, I'm not that close to her when I grew up because she was taken away. I was in the army. I was grew up with my grandparents.
Right.
Which I think, you know, your parents actually is, the grandparents best for your children because parents always want your children to be who they want to be or they never had their dream. They want the children to force them.
Mm-hmm.
But grandparents, pure love. If you want to go to school, don't go.
Yeah. My grandmother used to yank me out of school. She'd be like, hey, you want to come? I'll just go and pick you up. Yeah.
No,
my grandmother was the same way. Yeah.
So I was nurtured by my grandparents. Therefore, I have this free spirit, you know.
Yeah.
My parents always do this, do that. And I remember one time my mother teaches literature. I was at home. He has colleagues, teacher, professors there talking about Madame Balfrey, the book, Madame Balfrey. He said, don't let your daughter read it. So then I skipped school. I read it.
Do exactly what you're told not to.
I know, right? Your child, you just, how do you say it? Rebel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you were actually telling me, too, that you were in Star Wars, but you got cut out?
Yeah, I think at that time was really controversial, and a lot of people asked me if I was cut out because I was on same time release on the cover of Playboy.
Right.
And, you know, I never knew what is the truth, and I don't want to know. I think that's a director's choice. And people ask me, I said, I'm just, the fact that I'm very lucky at that moment, I worked with these two biggest American icon culture, you know, icon. I said, what's to complain?
Right.
I said, I'm in or not, I had an experience with him. I said, for me, I really appreciate everything. So I don't, like people say, you feel bad? I say, no, I feel like it was a gift for me.
Mm-hmm. But it would have been better if they would have kept you in the movie, no?
I think I was in the DVD in the end.
The extras in the DVD?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, that's why I was saying you see the cup is half full or half empty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, I appreciate that experience. I never feel bad. I feel like, wow.
I think George Lucas was just jealous. He was never on the cover of Playboy.
Yeah.
He's cool.
Hefner called me.
I like him. He's like a kid. He make all this, you know, fantasy world become real for us to dream of. You know, it's fun.
He's got like a weird neck, too. I don't know if you notice. He has like a goiter.
He has a perfect hair. Like the
he does have nice hair.
Yeah.
But do you think that you were cut out of that movie because you were in Playboy? Because a lot of times, even though people will say that Playboy is like the more classy nude magazine. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I get Playboy for the articles, you know, and I'm not looking at the vaginas.
I think
you
know? Hugh Hefner, what an intelligent man. He's very intelligent. How can he make it like he's legal to have all these girlfriends? Everybody thinks it's okay. You know, he made it for himself. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. In a way how one person can do something, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like now I become like a family. See, Bailin, you can come to visit anytime. I say, I become a family of Playboy.
Yeah,
it's kind of strange for me to think. You know, it's like.
But you hung out at the Playboy Mansion, right?
All the time.
Yeah.
Like after a while, like first time we were shooting there, I was like so uncomfortable, like taking off my. I take the longest makeup ever because I'm like going something like I can't do. You know, even like take forever. I take my clothes. I'm still like this. He said, "Bailin, can you move your hand?" I'm like this. I just can't let it go.
Yeah.
But we were like shooting like 7 days. But in the end, basically, I was running around naked because on the wall they have all this Cindy Crawford. Everybody's like nude picture, huge. You feel like you're kind of dirty when you're wearing clothes. It's like a fairy tale.
Yeah.
Kind of a
fantasy. You feel out of place wearing clothes at the Playboy Mansion. Huh?
I think it's something the human body is really beautiful and pure. It's the mind.
Yeah, that. Yeah. Sometimes.
How's Hef?
Sometimes
you met Hef, right? Hugh Hefner?
Yeah, he's very nice. He's very classy and gentleman.
Did he try to recruit you to be one of his girlfriends?
No. He was very respectful, very nice.
Mm-hmm. How many girlfriends did he have?
I don't know, tons of them.
Yeah.
I think they all look identical, you know, big boobs, big
blah.
Long hair.
I think a man like to have a lot of women there just to trophy or something, you know?
No, we hate that.
Yeah. No, you like that. I think when the girlfriend go out with another man, they don't like it, but go out with another girl intimately, they love it.
Sometimes, yeah. You know what? Like,
why is
that's
that?
That's like a fantasy. Like, a common male fantasy is like, a man with two women, you know?
Why is that?
I don't know. I think it's because I guess it's sexy like in a way like where two women will be making out and stuff. Like, I think that's hot. You know what I mean? And, but I also have this thing of like, let's say me and my girlfriend say, okay, we want to get this. And this is, I know people who this has happened to. So they're like, okay, let's say, me and my girlfriend say, okay, we want to get another girl to be intimate and stuff. So we do that. Like, I think with my luck, I'd be the one jerking off in the corner while these two women are getting it on. I'd be like so left out. And I think I would still be jealous too, you know, like I would be jealous of that.
I think ultimately it's not healthy. This is too relationship.
This happened to a friend of ours. He was actually, I don't even want to say exactly who he is.
Why not?
He's like a friend of
what
ours.
What are you afraid of?
He might have been one of our.
Come on, be honest.
He might have been our ex bass player Richard, who him and his girlfriend, they had a girl with them. They were living, they were having sex together. It was like, I was like, hey man, what do you think? And he's like, oh man, it's great, all this stuff. And I'm like, hey man, be careful because you might end up getting hurt, you know, because I always think of I'm very jealous. And so I'm like, hey man,
why
you know,
be jealous?
Careful. I think it might be an insecurity. I'm Mexican. So, or Chicano, Mexican American. And so it's in our blood to be like, yeah, you're looking at my women? What? And then you get mad. And so anyway, so what happened to him is like, you know, they're doing all this stuff. And then one day he came home and they were having sex without him. And he was like, whoa. And that happened frequently. And as it turned out, they ended up getting together and he was left out. So they moved out. You know, and they carried on their relationship and they kind of left him out. So I don't know. I mean, that's like a fantasy that I've never taken part in. But I think that I would have those kind of hangups because I'm kind of neurotic that way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know,
you could get a man. She gets a girl.
I don't know.
And
I couldn't
you get
do
a
that.
Man.
I can't.
Sean was like, I don't understand what you're talking about.
Okay. See, that's the thing is like,
what
I can't.
What about you? You can't have three men or something like that?
Or more.
Yeah, what's it
wow.
like?
Or more.
What's it like?
Wow. Yeah, what's
do you like? Have that same thing? Like, let's say it's all three men.
There's
would you guys be jealous? Like if, you know, you guys ran a three-way or something with another dude?
Well, it depends on that relationship, really, right?
Yeah.
Well, what
yeah.
about just you, two of you? Can you take another person?
Well, let's see.
We have before.
Oh, hey, shit. And how did that work out? It worked out okay. There were no like hurt feelings. It was cool, right?
We're still right next to each other. So.
Yeah. For some reason, I think it's different with men. I think men, like physically and chemically, are just like where we are invented and we're created to reproduce and just have that sexual drive, you know? So I think regardless if a man is straight or gay, I think they're all. It's always more... We're more horny, you know?
I thought your show's about music. Now it's about sex.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's all intertwining, you know what I mean?
This is late. It's always like this, turn up talking about sex?
Oh, yeah. Even in our regular personal lives, we're always talking about
what
this
What about
shit.
Your girlfriend will say, why you always talk about sex? You're not satisfied?
What is it, every 7 seconds, they say?
Yeah, every 7 seconds, we're thinking about fucking. We can't.
You should write a song about that. Male psychology.
Are you all musicians writing songs?
Yeah. We're all musicians.
Wow.
Yeah, we're in the same band.
You work together, all of you?
Yes. We're in a band called The Mormons, and we dress up like Mormon missionaries.
Really?
You know the guys with the helmets and the backpacks and the white shirts?
Where do you perform next?
We don't have any shows. We're right now we're writing new music and getting stuff together. But before you leave, we'll make sure that you have some of our music to listen to.
Yeah, maybe next time I can join you.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, that'd be great.
Are you planning on performing these songs live or in clubs or anything? Or
Yeah, I did in Hollywood Club.
Oh, okay.
Didn't you perform at Paraspace recently?
Yeah, maybe someday she'll come back to Paraspace.
Yeah.
I'd like to. It's fun.
What's the reception that you get with your music? Like, what do people tell you about it?
I think they like it. In the beginning, they're like, they don't know what it is. But when they hear more, they like it more. Because it's something new, fresh. I think eventually, like Sean get like, I just perform, he immediately he like it.
Yeah.
I think it's something, yeah, when you have great ear, if you're intelligent and fine, good musicians, you'll like my song.
Yeah, and Sean has the ear for music. I mean, he's just that guy.
Yeah. He's like, bring me here. You know, I really appreciate that.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. It was really a lot of fun having you on the show. And I feel like we need more time to talk to you. And hopefully we can have you come back.
I will.
You
know? I will.
So tomorrow night.
I mean, we could keep going.
I want all your listeners to follow me at Real Biling on Twitters, mm-hmm. and also visit me at officialbiling.com. Mm-hmm. We'll lead you, have YouTube, all of that. We'll lead you to my adventures, dangerous, fun, and fine and beautiful adventures.
You know, I wanted to ask you while you're here with Sean, how did you guys all meet? Because Sean was on our show a few weeks ago, last month, and he said, hey, you know what? We're hanging out. Biling is our friend, and we're hanging out with her and stuff. So how did you guys meet? Tell us about how you guys met. And
I think it's a God arranged.
Right? Guardian angel.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The dude with a red beret show up. different guardian.
I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you. No, it's, just a guardian angel brought us together.
What's Guardian Angel? Like an actual angel?
Actually, he's just a really nice guy named Alan.
Oh, okay.
Who is like always looking out for people.
Mm-hmm. I took and invited him to a show, fashion show. I was performing my song Rehab for the first time. Mm-hmm. And he said, I know a guy, Sean, you could be performing in their club.
Yeah, he's a nice
so
guy.
So then I...
The rest is history.
Yeah.
So somehow he knew that I would dig your music. Your music is good. I like that you record it yourself.
Yeah.
I tend to like music, you know, the people.
Yeah.
Have their...
I think the raw.
Rawness.
Mm. Yeah, is something very pure. You know, I think like our contemporary world, the like material world, the brush it too much. You lose the reality, like all this plastic surgeries. You don't see that person.
Yeah, too much overproduction. You can't like feel what's actually happening.
Yeah, I think if it's everything's perfect, it's boring. You know, if there's some imperfection or something raw, I think it's always exciting to me. They're real life. Like as a performer, like I never, even as actress, I never learned in my life for one day. And always there, I don't want to prepare. I'm just there and daringly going there. I think it's much more like children always win your heart because there's honesty, there's a raw of passion and truth.
Keeping it real.
Yeah.
Keeping it real.
Keeping it
all
real,
right.
Yes.
And thank you for keeping it real on the More Music Radio Pod. We really appreciate it. And thanks to Sean and Makai for coming and sharing their marriage and being married here on the More Music Radio Pod.
They're just touching each other. That's so sweet.
Once gay marriage is legal, maybe we'll come down here and Biling can marry us on the
That would be radical if you guys could do that.
Yes.
Yeah, whenever you're ready. So that's even more incentive. Let's pass this shit.
So happy Chinese New Year to everybody out there. Thank you.
And this is the time of the show when Dan reads off what's going on this weekend. What's going on, Dan?
Well, this weekend, actually I think Biling's going to be doing some more radio tomorrow, yes. Isn't she?
Yeah, what's the station?
You're going to be going to KXLU.
That's right.
That's 89.9 if you're in LA.
88.9.
Excuse me. Yeah, 89.9 is
I got to tell you that KXLU and Demolition is probably the only thing left to listen to on FM radio. There's absolutely nothing else. Well, except Phil Hendry maybe, but that's, you know, at a different time. You know, so everybody listen to Demolition. That's tomorrow. That's on Friday. I don't know if they're going to get it tomorrow. Hopefully we can get this up by Friday. But if you hear this in a podcast, it's always good to listen to Demolition on KXLU. All right.
Yeah, so and while you're up on skidrow.la listening to this, go check out the donate page and empty out your PayPal account.
Yeah.
And help us out.
Yeah.
Friday, if you're over in the Pasadena area, there's one of my favorite things ever to see. It's called this band Unpoppable. It's his bass player.
Balloon bass.
Yeah, man. He plays balloon bass. He plays bass on a balloon, and he's got like an awesome band
behind
him.
It's cool. Have you seen that, Sean? No.
He makes balloon animals, I'm going to hook you up with that guy. And he puts together awesome songs.
I've had a balloon before that.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
You can make weird sounds on it. So
you can make a fucking instrument
Check out balloonbass.com or something like that on the Google. It'll be awesome. You'll love
it. He's going to be at the Old Town Pub, right?
Old Town Pub. Exactly.
All right.
In Pasadena. If you're in like Burbank or something, Pickwick. You can check out our, a couple weeks ago we had a guest, Lightning Woodcock.
Yeah, Lightning Woodcock's going to be at the Pickwick.
He's going to put a great
show for you, and this other band, Stab City, will also be there. I don't know what they'll do.
They're going to play some music.
Yeah. And
the drummer's
then,
probably still going to hate our guts.
Yeah, even though we promoted a show, but it's fine. On Sunday, go out to brunch at the Thirsty Crow. You'll also see our last week's guest, Princess Frank. He'll be putting on a good show for you and get some food. Check him out. And Monday, that moves us over to Chinese New Year, and you can celebrate that at Paraspace with Sean here and Makai. And I think we got like, did you say gay space? Did I hear that right?
Yeah, rainbows from space.
Rainbows from space and
that's
the psychedelic
theme for
handbook.
Monday. Yeah, psychic handbook.
Psychic handbook. Excuse me, my writing's all messed up. And No Homo, they will be there. And actually,
No Homo, bro.
No Homo, bro. And I was talking about the Thirsty Crow. Across the street from there is Club Los Globos. And Lee from the Piñata Hour is going to be having something.
Oh, Piñata Party.
Piñata
right.
Party.
We'll see. Maybe one day Lee will invite us to one of his shows.
Hey, you know, we invited people places sometimes.
Yeah. Known anyway. Lee for years. Never invited.
But that's pretty much it, you know. And check out everything else. Check out Mad Time Radio. Got the Piñata Hour, Kuman Report, Adamo, Love Bites.
Adamo
These are
podcast.
All our comrades here on Skidrow.LA. And check out Biling's... The Real Biling on Twitter and the official biling.com.
Yeah, thank you very
me,
much.
I know you. You text me. I know you. You tweet me. I know you. Facebook me. I know you.
Oh, okay. I always get that part wrong. Well, thank you very much for being on the show, Biling. We really appreciate it. And hopefully we can have you back. And maybe when you come back, you can bring your pipa and you can play the pipa.
Yes.
On the More Music Radio Pod. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks so much. This was really awesome. You did a great job.
I want to remind everybody to check out The Mormons on Facebook /The Mormons. We're also on Twitter /The Mormons. Find the More Music Radio Pod on Facebook /MOR Music Radio Pod. And on Twitter, MOR Music Radio. All right. Yes. This has been the More Music Radio Pod. Once again, thanks to Biling, Sean, and Makai for coming down. Thank you to Dan, and thanks to Jimmy for coming on today. And we want to thank Skid Row Studios.
Thanks,
and,
Sonia. Thanks, Jeremy.
Sonia for running the board, of course.
Thanks, Sonia.
And, that's it. I don't know what else to say. It's such a good show. Thanks for all the callers. Oh, you know, we had a caller from South Africa that was on hold. And we just talked. We blabbed through it and we missed him.
Next time.
Yeah, next time. I don't know how to say it in Afrikaner, but please call back next time.
Next time I share you my experience in Iraq. I went to Iraq.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, that's something to look forward to on the More Music Radio Pod.
Too much life.
All right, everybody, good show, and we'll catch you next week when we have our friend Fredo doing his project Bongoloids is going to be here, and that's going to be a really good show. So catch us next week, 10 p.m. Pacific time on www.skidrow.la. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a good night.